AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, which, as you know, serves Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. Go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. If they are internet listeners, ask them to tune in and also ask them to email family and friends and let them know that they can tune in as well. Well, today I have a full house of people that are going to be part of our panel. They include Larkin Connolly, who you know is the president of SCORE Philadelphia. Also, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, which has been getting a tremendous, tremendous amount of national and international publicity. And I'm Michael Blihash, your host. Well, I hope that all of you enjoyed your commemoration of Memorial Day, because it's a very important day. And I know that Mark does a lot of work there with the veterans. And Mark, let's start off with you today and see what you had the opportunity to do.
Yeah, well, this weekend, Mike, hello, everyone, first of all, and I hope your weekend went well.
It was great.
We, you know, Saturday we kicked off a big motorcycle run again, and we helped the local hospital, ECMC, and two groups ran. One was the Red Knights, but one was the American Legion Riders, and we ended up attracting about 250 motorcycles. It was a cool day in Buffalo. About 50 degrees, 55, so a little cool on the bikes. But, you know, these groups came in about packs of 50, and the veterans, you know, Mike, were just excellent. You know, they love what we're doing. You know, a lot of them, I try to explain the store to them, and they said, Mark, we know what you're about. We know what you're what you stand for, and we love it, and we thank you. So, you know, I always thank them, and I always tell them, you know, there's no higher honor, and you're the heroes. You know, I said, this store is dedicated to you. But, you know, it was an awesome day. So from about probably 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we had over 250 motorcycles coming in. And they weren't all veterans, but they were a mix and match, and that was just nice to see. Sunday, we had an outstanding day. We were open. We are a retail destination with the Made in America store, and I always believe in giving my people off, too, so they can enjoy the holiday. But we had a light crew, and we had a great Sunday. People stopped from all over to see us. And even yesterday, the store was open. And again, you wouldn't believe the people that stop in, because we're not kind of a drive-by. You kind of go to us because you want to go see what it's about. But I had a lot of thank yous and just a lot of good conversation with a lot of good people, Mike. So it was a great weekend. We really enjoyed it, and it was very successful.
And Mark, thank you for all you do for the veterans. I want to just mention that I had the pleasure of marching in the Bridesburg Memorial Day Parade. That's in the Bridesburg section of Philadelphia. And I gave out hundreds of my American Workers Radio flyers. And I had the opportunity to talk with some of our listeners and also some of the local business people who lined the streets in big numbers. It was really a beautiful event. And, of course, we were talking about what are we going to do to change what's happening in America. And many of the people who listen tell me, Michael, the biggest problem we have is the political people place too many tax disadvantages on us and no advantages whatsoever. And after 30 years of all this going on, it's really hard to change the reality of the day. The biggest problem is as people ride down the roads, they see all these empty buildings, office building, manufacturing buildings, shipping buildings. What are we going to do with them? We have the opportunity to change this whole thing around, and we are certainly doing that through this broadcast, through our growing number of supporters. And I want to thank all of you for emailing the program to your family and friends and making sure that the message continues to grow. I want to talk about some other things, but first, let's ask Dr. Larkin Connolly how his weekend went.
You know, I had a wonderful weekend. Michael, thank you. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend, and a special hello to Rich and Mark out there. I spent a better part of my weekend taking care of some family business, but did have an opportunity to invite everybody on my block where I live here in Queen Village to, you know, go out and kiss a veteran. Of course, I had to tell my next door neighbor, she's a cute redhead, not to get carried away with that. But it is a great, great, great holiday. And it comes at the right time. It's the beginning of summer. The weather is supposed to change. It tried. But the spirit of the holiday is exactly why it's there. I mean, they've given an awful lot.
And, you know, I saw so many American flags out there over this holiday. And I, of course, as soon as I go somewhere, I look to see where the flag is being made. And I make mention of it all the time because I know that Mark has on his flag right there a Made in America store. So, I mean, I know where that one's made. But so many of the flags are made. In fact, there was an article in our local newspaper, the Humphrey Flag and Banner Company, which is located on Arch Street in Philadelphia. They've been operating for quite a few years, maybe 60, 70 years. And they had a nice article on them stating that all of their flags are made here in the USA. And that cheered me up, of course. And we do business exclusively with Humphrey's Flag and Banner Company on Arch Street, 3rd and Arch Street, across from the Betsy Ross House. What else could they sell other than the American-made stuff?
And they deserve every second of that plug.
Oh, and that was a beautiful article. And, of course, they brought attention that some of the bigger manufacturers are bringing stuff in from foreign countries, which I really don't understand. I mean, if we can't make an American flag here, then we've really got some major problems.
Mike, I always bring up that flag on my buses and whatnot. I said I always wanted a resolution to make sure all our flags are made in the United States of America, because a lot of the flags even say made on China right on them. I've been at Veterans Day events, and that's one big thing we have in our distribution center to supply flags. But 60 to 70% are made overseas. And I can't believe that, but I said any flag draped over a soldier's casket or flown above a soldier should absolutely be made in our country, the country they supported. So that's great to hear that you've got a place right in your hometown.
Right. Humphrey's Flag and Banner, I'll promote it as much as I can because they do great work. Well, Rich, how was your commemoration of Memorial Day?
Guys, on Friday we spent most of our day talking with some of our veteran customers. Any veteran-owned business always gets a discount with us. Mark, just like at your store, you know, vets get, I think you said, 10% last time. So we spent a great deal of time with our vets on Friday. And no matter what we're, my opinion of it is, no matter what we might think about the government's hands in affairs around the world, the fact of the matter is these men and women really endure things that we as the average who have not been in service, it's what they do is, I believe, greatly appreciated no matter what we think about the political context of what some of the things are that we've done over the years. But overall, it was great weekend, and it was a great weekend because we have the freedom to celebrate and pretty much do what we want. My wife and I had a chance to, you know, down in Florida, hit the beach, right, guys? So I realize a lot of vets don't have that opportunity.
It hot enough to fry an egg on the pavement down there?
Not yet. It's getting there, though. It's getting there. And Larkin, I connected with you today. I got your message, so thank you. And Mark, anytime again with Dan, I'm my invitation's open to you. So
I picked on him last week for you, Rich.
Oh, and the lady, my contacts in my contacts in Buffalo. I spoke with them again about the store. So every chance I get, I give a plug to that store, Mark.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I want to say something to you about our veterans. When I was out at the Bridesburg Memorial Day Parade, there were a number of veterans who had come back from Iraq and Afghanistan and unfortunately are unemployed. That really breaks my heart because these are people in the prime of their life, in their late 30s and 40s, to come back to find the business that employed them for 6, 8, 10 years is now closed. That's a very unfortunate thing. And I can't say more about it other than we have got to stick together and find more ways to support one another, because this is what it's all about.
On the brighter side of that very issue, Michael, we have an initiative at SCORE where we literally try to run down these returning veterans that have come back from Afghanistan and Iraq. They generally come back with a little bit of combat pay, so they've got a little bogey in the bank. And what we do is try to discourage them from buying a brand new jet black, you know, Ford F-150. Not that they don't deserve that, but to take that money and give some consideration to starting a small business, and we'll counsel them through that process.
Very good. I mean, it's, some of those guys are just the best. And, of course, what I'm trying to encourage people to do, as I did yesterday and throughout the Memorial Day holiday, is I encouraged people to go out and become involved in their veterans organizations, because one person helping another, one person understanding another situation, really allows us to make this thing a reality. And one of the things that I have to say is in my conversation with the Bridesburg Business Association retailers, they told me, Michael, all of your efforts are commendable, but I have to say this. As a result of being overtaxed and overregulated, merchandisers throughout the USA simply found it easier to deal with companies located overseas, and so they moved as much manufacturing as they could overseas to make sure that they got better prices for the customers that they're selling the products to, and also a better profit for themselves, which they're able to do on foreign products. While the people, I must add though, while the people here in the USA are paying the same price as if it was made in America. So the whole system is lopsided, and we got to have some leadership do something about it. What would you say to that, Mark?
Yeah, you know, I definitely agree. You know, we've got so much red tape, and even I'm going through my mitigation here when I put my business, the new building, up in 2008, just even with the EPA, where I had to change. I needed acreage behind my property, behind my building, so I could get by the building. So I had to do a 2-for-1 ratio trade with the land behind my building and land I had over in a town, probably about 6 miles. But this is the third year in that mitigation. They're having me reseed it for the fifth time. And it's just that type of thing that doesn't go away and makes it real hard to expand and grow your businesses. Again, I'm always a diehard. I do everything they need. But a lot of it is just not common sense what I'm doing. You know, they wanted it. They wanted me to water the seed, you know, last week, but then it rained Friday, and then the new grass did grow just like it would have. But you know, anything that adds makes it harder for a business to operate is just it should be thought about. Like we always talk about, they need to understand more what we go through to be able to operate, and you know, the cost of the sale. That cost of the sale, I just went through with my people this morning. It involves a lot. You've got customer service. You want to take care of your customer the best you can. But that cost of the sale, everything they raise or everything they change that affects a business, hurts you more. You can only charge so much over your counter in this competitive you know, country that we live in, and that's fine to have competition, but it's just very hard. So I understand what them people say, you know, why these people went overseas and whatnot, because we don't tend to make things easier. There's more and more red tape. So Mike, I couldn't agree more. We've got to make it easier on business, because we want more entrepreneurs and we want more inventors and new products, and we've got to get back to making it easier on business and give them startup plans and things like that.
What really bugs me is that many of the products that are invented here in America, someone takes them overseas, takes the patent overseas, and the next thing you know, we have no jobs. The rest is being done over there. And what they want is they want to buy that property from you so that they'll be able to continue to make it for years. There's too many things in the system that have to be changed.
Well, Mike, on that, I have a few patents that I run, but other countries have first-time inventors clause. So if you're the first-time inventor, nobody can take that product from you. Here here, we don't. You know, my patent protects me, but if you change a couple things on that, you go around, you go around me. And again, in that hardware retail show in Vegas, there was spies right there trying to steal these ideas that we thought of. And so that's some area also that needs to be fixed. You know, a patent should protect you.
You know, I had a very good response from someone the other day. They said, we can't believe some of these political people. They come to these events like they're royalty. They try to act like they're servants of the people while they're treated better than any constituent that they could have. And they said that's starting to really get to them. And some of our efforts are helping that to bring that about. Last week, Rich said, we have to figure out ways to cut expenses, not quality. And I agree, and in fact, I think we should be doing that in every budget, including our personal budgets, our business budgets, and especially government, because the government money comes from we, the taxpayers. So it's a matter of us speaking up and making this a reality. We can't blame, by the way, we can't blame business leaders or the leaders of other countries from welcoming jobs to employ their people, and we can't blame businesses for going elsewhere where their money is going to bring them some money. We really have to look at America's leaders and find out why they allowed doing business in America to become a problem. And Larkin, I'm sure that you see many of the businesses trying to open up here in our region, you know, saying, well, all this paperwork, you know, there's nobody really opening the door and welcoming you to become part of the business community.
Well, they certainly are giving it a lot of lip service. And the city of Philadelphia has a commerce department, and it's got some very intelligent, hardworking people involved. And they've got liaisons between small businesses and the government. And these liaisons go out and try to provide a conduit between the two entities to make it work better. But that's not exactly where the problem is in Philadelphia right now. You're 100% right. L&I will bog you down. They'll try their darndest to make it seem like it's a very simple procedure, but it's very clumsy and very time consuming and expensive.
And that's why I guess many of the people who have business ability sort of stay back because they don't want to get involved paying those taxes, and you have to make those quarterly reports and everything else. It becomes more of a nightmare than a reward.
Well, we unfortunately do not have any politicians in Philadelphia right now, unless I've missed somebody, that are powerfully small business oriented. And make small business and the advancement of small business the foundation of what they do, what they represent, and what they sponsor. There are a couple out there that give it some pretty good lip service.
It's lip service. I must say that, too.
Yeah.
In fact, I met a few of them over these past few weeks, and the majority of them are just talking. In fact, as America's students are graduating from high school and college, all of us are seeing and hearing from them how critical it is to get jobs back here in the USA. Many of the boys and girls that are graduating are not even going into the field that they're, you know, been studying for 4 years. They have the skills. Many of them are great, have great personalities, but there's no job in that field because, of course, the economy hurt, but of course outsourcing hurt even more.
And you know, that's only half the issue too. That's only half the problem. All of these young Americans who are coming out of college not only can't find income, they're saddled with some outgo, which is usually somewhere between $200 and $500 a month to pay for an education that was...
Now, Larkin, I must ask Rich to... He did forward me an email. I didn't have a chance to open it. But, Rich, you know this. You made a statement before that America's government is making more money on student loans than any of our major corporations. Would you clarify that?
Yeah, there's more. The federal government makes more profit from student debt, i.e. student loans, than do the largest companies in the world in profit. For example, ExxonMobil is the largest company in the world. It makes less profit than the government does on student loan. And what the article was that I sent you, Michael, which you can share, and I'll let the other guys and the listeners know, is it was an article about just some of the what I would say some of the myths about college. And I'm someone who is a very pro-education person. I have a bachelor's degree. I graduated college 13 years ago yesterday, as a matter of fact. And yet, it feels like I just, it's a never-ending loan, right? So students who are coming out now are saddled with the kind of debt that is eerily similar to what we experienced with our with all of that mortgage and financial crisis. So where all that is going to take us, I guess it remains to be seen. But it's not, again, I don't think it's a doomsday, but I don't think it's quite as Wizard of Oz-esque as it's made out to be. But it's obviously a concern. And because it's a concern, the questions always then are risen by students now, is this really worth it for me?
Right. And that's unfortunate.
None of us can answer that. None of us can answer that for an individual student. But where those students are going to fit into the global economy, I'll give just another example of a published report. Not that I think Forbes is the end-all be-all for news or business. I don't think that about any news source, but there were some recent published reports there about entrepreneurship at amongst its highest percentage rate for adults in quite some time, and also about our manufacturing costs. In other words, that labor costs around the world are actually evening out. Now, that is said in the context of our manufacturing relationship and, I guess, competition with the large Asian nations, for example, China. But the question remains now, while those costs are starting to even themselves out, are there others around the world who are looking to become a destination for our manufacturers who maybe are in China and maybe are looking to go elsewhere? I think, guys, the answer clearly is yes. I mean, clearly, over time, countries look at what others are doing and try to advance on that and try to offer the benefits of that system. So there are nations out there who are paying attention to what's going on.
And why don't we have people, whether they're elected people or maybe even consultants out there, really pushing this thing to move forward where we bring jobs back here to the USA? If we can't have our elected officials push it, maybe it's time for the well-known lobbyists to start lobbying for jobs in the USA.
Well, it wasn't just a matter of labor costs. It was also a huge matter of taxation. And for reasons we've discussed many times on this show, you know, corporations, fair or unfair, have a little bit of a black eye with the American people, I believe, when it comes to the taxation. So that's something that has to be solved, whether it means certain tax benefits, whether it means exemption of certain taxes over the course of a year or maybe more. Those are things that have to be figured out. But the fact is, there are many, many companies overseas that I believe would be probably very willing to come back here, but they take a huge hit to the pocketbook coming back. So it's not just labor. It was actually taxation and those things that cumulatively made it very attractive for many of our businesses to either fully part ways or in part part ways with the relationship here in the U.S. and go elsewhere. So these are things that our elected officials, we cannot have the attitude of rely on them to solve the problem. They have to be working on it in conjunction with the public and businesses. And I don't think that's so utopian to say that. Economic matters are just as important as any issue in our country. So when we're not devoting time to important issues, what the hell are we devoting our time to?
Exactly. And the corporate tax rate in this country is deplorable. It's the highest in the world, I believe.
And why do they keep raising that corporate tax rate?
Well, because although Rich kind of spits in the eye of this next comment about the government making money. I guess they do generate some revenue, but you have to feed the beast. It's the largest employer in this country.
Absolutely.
It is the largest employer. It dwarfs ExxonMobil. It dwarfs probably all.
And Larkin, do you feel as I do that a lot of what happened with the overgrowth in private sector, public sector jobs, is to hide the fact that we lost private businesses hiring people?
I don't think there's any question of that. And if you try to create a balance, you really are taking people off the public dole. They have jobs and they're doing. Some are doing some very commendable things, but it's going to take them off and throw them back into the private sector. And private sector.
You're right, and that's why I've been promoting so heavily the fact that we need to bring those businesses back, get people that could be employed into those jobs, and maybe some of those people that are in the public sector jobs could be placed in the private sector jobs, and that way we'd get that balance. Quite frankly, America needs 40 million jobs, and there's no dancing around about it. They went up to 23, and then I heard 29. No, it's 40 million jobs. All the 23s and 29, it doesn't include our new graduates. It doesn't include the people who are off unemployment for a long time and are now just on welfare and other programs. It doesn't include those that would like to return to work. You need 40 million jobs in this country. And as Rich said last week, if we miss the boat this time, then we all will have to hide under the rock.
And I also want to mention to that end, the legislature here in Pennsylvania is considering privatizing liquor.
Yes.
Now imagine our government sells us the liquor that we drink. I've always thought that sounded a little on the weird side. But if they take that back, there are a ton of jobs that are going to be involved in privatization. And a ton of opportunities for people to own small businesses if the state doesn't turn around and just sell it to the first guy that comes along with a pocket full of cash. And there are many ways to sponsor solid citizens into the small business world of liquor sales.
Absolutely. In fact, Pennsylvania is one of two states that has this sort of liquor control board system. The other 48 states have it all privatized. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break for a moment now to honor some of our very faithful sponsors. And as always, I ask that you let them know that you listen to us here on American Workers Radio, and also that you're a listener of our broadcast throughout the week here on 860 AM Radio. We'll be back in a few moments. I'm Michael Blihosh. I'll be back with Larkin Connolly, Rich Loges, and Mark Andel. And we have a lot more things to talk about. Hold on for the next half hour. Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond, another at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. Dr. Eva Machak will provide you with quality dental care at affordable prices. For more information or an appointment, call Dr. Eva Machak at area code 215-739-2787. That's 215-739-2787. Dr. Machak speaks both English and Polish. The office of Leon Monkowski, attorney at law, is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. His office is open Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening, and he does have additional evening hours on Tuesdays. For more information or an appointment, call Leon Monkowski, attorney at law, at 215-739-8521. That's 215-739-8521. 8521. Serena's Auto Body Shop and Collision Center has two locations to serve you. One at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, call Serena's Auto Body at 215-535-6606. That's 215-535-6606.
The office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zinn speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188. The Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance and investment organization, encourages you to open a PNA annuity. Your deposits are tax deferred. You can open the account with $500 and then make future deposits in any amount in your tax deferred annuity. For more information about PNA annuities, IRAs, and life insurance programs, call the Polish National Alliance at their toll free number 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723. And complete details will be sent to you from the national office. When you call, you can also request that a local PNA representative contact you directly with further details about PNA annuities, IRAs, and their many insurance programs. Call the Polish National Alliance at 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723.
Welcome back to another edition of American Workers here on 860 AM radio. And Larkin and I were talking during the break about how we have to do something to motivate not only our national leaders, but our business leaders, labor leaders, and everybody has to come together so that we can get off this merry-go-round of blame. In fact, after 30 years of no incentives to expand and especially modernize America's industries, we see that it's really hard to change things that should have never happened in the first place. And I'm sure you all listening agree with me that it's time for national leaders to show us some leadership abilities and place some long-term tax incentives and also many other incentives that are given to businesses, put them on the table so that we can all see it, that there's no longer any reason for businesses not to be able to want to expand here in the USA. Rich, I would like you to add to that.
Well, I'm in agreement, Michael Larkin, with what you guys are saying, that I think that when it comes to business people in the U.S., right, 80% of employment, approximately 80, Larkin, correct my stat on this one, but about 80% comes from employment from small businesses.
I think it's even a little bit higher.
Let's call it even higher. Even 90. Okay, we'll go 80 to 90. But here's a question. With that majority, do we really think that the average small business person has access, has a voice with the average elected official? I'm not really so sure about that. Now, am I suggesting that bigger companies Which, by the way, in RJL, our business, we have companies as customers of all different sizes. We have some companies that are the very biggest in their industry and some who are just starting out and don't know what the heck they're doing yet, and we're trying to help them. I have an interest in business doing well as a whole because I created our company to try and position ourselves as a business that could help any business in any industry, no matter what the need is in what we do. But do we think that the average small business person has that access, has that voice, has the attention of elected officials? You know, guys, perhaps you might feel differently. I'm not really so sure that they do.
No, you're right. I want to tell you something, Rich, and I'll be very blunt, and I know that I'll get hell over this, but whatever. In the last week, I spoke to few of the elected officials from Washington, and they said to me, Michael, we are working feverishly. I love that line, feverishly, on many issues that are going to benefit the American people. I complained. It's not, I don't see that happening. What exactly are you working on? They said, well, of course, we're doing our best to represent the people. Yesterday, one of our political people told me, Michael, after the budget is passed, before the end of June, I'll be able to get together with you and share more ideas about what I'm proposing to do to help small businesses. Unfortunately, all this is just a delay tactic for people to take action. They don't want to come on radio programs. Maybe 20 radio broadcasters have invited them to come on here in the Philadelphia tri-state area. It's always a convenient excuse why I'm not available. There's always some kind of emergency, hearings, you name it. We've got to come to the point where the American people go to the telephone, go to their Twitter accounts, and go to their emails and start hammering these people, local and national combined. We have too many things on the agenda. And I find as I go traveling around talking with businesses that many of the businesses have their offices located in America, but all of their manufacturing is done overseas. And over the last 30 years with no incentives and the people living, just satisfied with what was happening is before the economy went flat in the recession, many of the items were already here for 6, 8, 10 years with foreign labels. And nobody even took notice to it until people like us got started with American Workers Need You and American Workers Radio. And my compliments also to Diane Sawyer and David Muir and Sharon Alfonsi and all these people that are now speaking up. When I go around, people tell me, Michael, I learn more from this show than you would believe. And I compliment all of you for that. And I ask the listeners to kindly continue to spread the word. But until now, it's very true. In fact, Mark, they often talk about you, and of course they would like to see a Made in America store here in our Philadelphia tri-state area. It's a little hint, but we'll see what we can do in the future. We'd like to see some of those products because your example needs to be emulated so that people say, well, sure, I should be supporting that. Let me go over there. Let me go to that shopping center, wherever the location could be. We have to simply find more opportunities to help one another and promote one another. No more excuses, no more backstabbing and all this. This one's no good, that one's no good. Next presidential campaign is coming up. And what are the people? They're talking about the same old people being recycled again. I agree with Rich. We should have 30 people running for, or maybe 50 people running for president, or 30, at least 30 people, one for every so many hundreds of thousands of people in America.
This continues to be a problem. Excuse me, Rich, because they're not represented. There are millions and millions of them spread all over the landscape. They're not organized like labor. They're not organized like the government is organized. They're not organized at all. And the only thing that comes close to it is, that I can tell, is the Chamber of Commerce.
I agree.
And they are a little, have their hands tied to a degree.
I will say that our labor movement is very strong in Philadelphia. I don't know how it is in other parts of the USA, but I think it's time for the labor movement, all of the elected officials, and the workers themselves to sit down and say, we've got to stop this merry-go-round and get off the ride because we're all going broke in the process. No matter what they say, how many jobs were gained and lost and the economy's getting better, that's all bull. A very qualified graduate told me on Saturday, I'm happy to have been able to get a job at the Jersey Shore to support myself, and hopefully the economy will change when I'm done with my job in September. So I'm not interested to hear any excuses. And by the way, I must add this too. Even in the job fair market, there are less and less job fairs out there for people to go to see what's even available. The people sponsoring the job fairs simply can't get enough presenters in there. So this is all affecting any ability for American workers to get a job. Rich, yep. You were ready to say something a few minutes ago.
Yes, sorry guys, I didn't mean to interrupt, but to quote one of my favorite baseball movies, if you build it, they will come. Yeah. And what I mean by that is this, you know, Michael, you talk about having, you know, 20, 30 candidates. When I say if you build it, they will come, what I mean by that is if we create a true equitable system that actually encourages competition in our elections, and I have no empirical evidence to say that it'll work, so we can all take it for what it is and what I say. But I believe if we set up a system, we create, which it's kind of actually, in my opinion, a bit sad that we have to talk about our elections this way, that they would be more equitable and more accessible. I believe if we have it that way, more capable candidates. I don't like to say qualified. I like to say capable.
Right. I agree with that.
And I say it that way because there are certain things where you need to be qualified. And you know, whatever that is, special skills, whatever the case may be. But I think of so many people in our country who are capable and who would perhaps really think about getting into elections if they thought that their participation had a chance. And I'm telling you guys, it's the number one reason, in my opinion, why there is not more political consciousness and activism in the U.S. It's because people think it doesn't matter.
You're right.
And that is because of the two-party duopoly that we... And I know I talk about this point ad nauseum. I know you guys are sick of hearing it.
No, but Rich, I want to tell you that people are not sick of hearing it. In fact, I'm one who goes to many events and communities, so I do hear responses from people, and they like this idea. They don't even like my idea of four parties. They want 20. They want 24 parties. I mean, they want to see what everybody has to offer. In fact, some of the people said they've been discouraged from voting and participating because no matter what happens, the endorsed candidate from one of the parties is going to win the election. And that's unfortunate because it already predetermines what the outcome is going to be. So everybody else is left in the dark. They're left in the dust of the endorsed candidate for the major parties. And that shouldn't be allowed anymore.
Well, we hear from elected officials about how great competition is. Why do we not think that way about our election?
Boy, Rich, you hit it right on the head. Wow, I haven't heard it put that way. Excellent. They agree about competition. Oh, it's a world economy. It's a free market economy. We are in competition with the world. Who is in competition with them? Very good point. In fact, I wanted to ask Mark, during your commemoration there of Memorial Day, did you find many of your political people coming over to you and saying, Mark, you're doing a great job. How can I help you?
You know, a few, when we opened Niagara Falls, a few political people, one I knew, a couple I didn't know, came from both sides, and I was very honest with them before we were on camera. You know, I talked to them and told them I'm for America here. It's, you know, we got to compromise, get along. I don't go political one side or another. I stay the course, kind of neutral, but I want to, I'm for our country. And they both bought in. It was good, but they don't, there's not a lot of help offered. It's more they want to get their picture with, you know, me or be on film, and that's generally a problem. You know, we always talk about the lip service, but you couldn't have hit it more on the head. We need more teamwork. You know, we got to work together on this. But they don't come out and offer help. They want to be part of something that's doing good, or if there's something tied to it. That's too much of what I see, because a lot of times I warn them, I just don't want a pitcher. Don't use me. You know, if you can help, or let's work together, let's help the area together. I don't know if you had a chance, Mike, to see Time magazine, that Made in the USA. I finally got an article, the copy, April 22nd, 2013. It's labeled on the front cover, Made in the USA, and it basically says, Made in the USA, against all odds, manufacturing is staging a comeback, and why it's rebounding and what it means for jobs and the economy. They do talk about technology, how, you know, machines are replacing workers at some point, but it's a pretty good article. I'll try to send you a copy.
I have seen that article and a few others. The major thing that we discussed on some of the other broadcasts on other stations in the area is the fact that because our educational system went away from industrial arts, we really have a void in the talent field. Many people are not out there. If you wanted to open up some businesses today, you'd have a problem finding the talent needed. That's very unfortunate. We should have more talent than we could, you know, be able to employ. And part of that 40 million jobs that I'm always talking about is going to require a lot of talent. Not the talent that it was of 40 years ago, but the new technology that is available that's being used in other parts of the world. You know, just what happened recently with that one country where the building collapsed, it taught us another lesson. Some of our dealers, our merchandisers, are complaining that they have no place to get those particular items made because they were exclusively directed to that factory. And now that that factory collapsed, they don't have any opportunity to get those products. That's very unfortunate. In fact, that's one of the reasons I am continuing to push the idea of 50-50%. 50% of everything that we have in this country should come from the American worker. And I don't see any reason that that can't be accomplished. It's happening slowly. More and more people are promoting it. I even went out to a store to buy something the other day, and they were giving out small American flag for you to put out. And the girl said to me, she looked at me, and I said to her, where's the flag made? And she says, I don't know. They were ripping the labels off. So I was immediately suspicious that it's not made in America. Sorry, Rich, I interrupted you.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt myself, Michael. That factory was actually in Bangladesh, and your listeners will be interested to read about how our consumption, our desire for cheap clothing, really fed the Bangladeshi boom. And Bangladesh was producing at a much higher rate certain products than its infrastructure could keep up with.
And Rich, what I don't understand to that point is how we can go around the country to Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan and Uzbekistan and all the stands peddling democracy because we think it's better for people, and we're peddling freedom, and yet we turn our back on India and Bangladesh and Indonesia and Japan for churning out. I mean, these women that were working in that plant in Bangladesh were making $37 a month.
Yeah.
A month.
Now, I want to add to that, and it's something I've said many times, but it should be repeated. Those products that came from that particular factory that collapsed were sold in America for American-made dollars. In other words, the same price as if it was made here in the USA. So merchandisers killed those people. They allowed that to happen. That building was built for a certain amount of people to enter. They doubled the amount of people. The structure started to weaken. In fact, I saw a report where one of the girls said that she noticed that cracks were happening more and more in the building, yet they continued to add more sewing machines just because they wanted to fill the orders for mainly America. So we did this, and we did this to ourselves, allowing our jobs to leave the country, and that's why I'm pleading with everyone to help us find more opportunities to help one another. And one of the big ways that you can do that is by going out and speaking up where you shop and letting people know that you are looking to buy American made. I have to tell you this on the positive side. I was out the other day and to a particular store. I don't want to mention names. I try not to mention names. But some of the Philadelphia Phillies memorabilia that was exclusively made in foreign countries is now being produced in America. And right on the memorabilia, it says very nicely shows made in the USA. So that is a positive, and I'd like to see all of America's baseball teams, football teams, and all of our athletic teams get and do the same thing. What I'd like to make sure happens is when you go to a game and you see the people get up and cheer, you know that everyone in the stadium is wearing something American, because all the people sitting in the seats are American workers or should be American workers.
Mike, I'd like to announce today, I got some very good news, and we just got the okay to announce it this morning. We've been involved with the making of a documentary film for almost a year and a half now. It's called The American Made Movie. And this movie, we're kind of letting the cat out of the bag. They just gave me the paperwork this morning where I can start talking about it. It's going to be released around theaters throughout the United States in this August. It's a theatrical movie. It's an hour and a half long. We're one of the manufacturers, and my story is a major part of the movie. So I'm very excited to announce that they will be doing a 30-city, 30-day tour, almost like a political campaign, but it's very neutral, the movie, starting in July, and then August it'll be in theaters. And I'd love to invite you, Mike, Rich, and Larkin when we do our private screening up here, but also it may be coming to Philadelphia, it may be coming to Florida. So Rich and you guys, I'll let you know where it's going to be because you can be part of it, but it's very exciting. Life is my movie is the producers, and this movie explains where America was after World War II, how great we are doing, and then the devastation with what we talk about every week. And then we're a good part that we inspire this documentary a little bit. You got Viking and New Balance, and there was 30 manufacturers. They're down to about 6 in the movie, but a very high-end quality movie, and the investors I haven't met yet. So I'm very excited to announce that. That just came out this morning, so I'd like you guys to be part of that, and I'll be letting you know more and more and send you the trailer hopefully soon.
Oh, congratulations. I love hearing that. This is the type of thing that is going to, motivate people, make people, know what's happening in the USA. We can't allow our country to be sold down the river anymore.
It's a great tool. They're point on. You'll love it. You guys were all part of this, and it's very, very exciting. So we had to keep it quiet for about a year and a half, but they just told me Friday, and then today they sent me the okay to start telling people, and we can start talking about it.
Well, Mark, make sure that we get a complete update, and in fact, if it's coming to Philadelphia, maybe we can have a screening party or something near the theater where it's going to be. I'd do something to make it, something special where people know that you're part of our broadcast, our movement about your store. Oh, I love it.
And they have a tour bus that's going to be wrapped, and they're going to tour the whole country, and it's real neat, but you guys will really, it's a great tool. After it goes to theater in August, then it's going to be available on DVD and used in colleges and schools, but you'll really love it.
And if it gets to the point that we can post it on our site where we'd be able to send it out to the thousands of people that we do each week, let me know, because whatever we can do to promote one another, this is what's going to make change in America possible.
I'll definitely get you the trailer. The trailer is being the one producer's up in L.A., and that trailer should be out next week. If I can allow the trailer to be shown on your site, I will definitely hook you up.
Well, I have to say this. We've done another great hour of discussions on what are we going to do to help American workers. I want to say once again to our graduates, please go out of your way to speak up where you shop. I do it. Many of the people who listen on this broadcast and who see my commentaries in newspapers do the same thing. I'm asking all of the fathers, the mothers, the grandparents, the neighbors, to do everything possible that they can to make sure that we have progress made. But one thing that you can really do, which would make a major, major impact, is call your elected officials. Sometimes when I ask people, have you contacted your elected officials? The answer is, well, I don't know. You know, they sort of have a lot of people answering the phone. They brushed me off. The last time I called, I said, well, let me say this to you. Don't give up. Continue to call. Every time you call, you help us make the movement a little stronger. If we don't do it, no one is going to do it for us. If we don't promote American made, you can't expect all those people around the world and other countries to promote the fact that America needs jobs, industries, it needs to revitalize its infrastructure, and all of the things that could provide jobs here in the USA. Just for the fact that our infrastructure in America needs major repairs is something that we should have addressed in every state, in every city across the USA. We can't continue to send our money elsewhere when we need it here at home. Well, for closing remarks today, I'm going to call on Larkin. Tell me something that is brand new in the area. Have you heard anything brand new taking place?
I can mention that we're going to have a huge marketing seminar at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. It's being sponsored by Sam's Club, but they came up with the money, so and it's a score event. We probably expect to be between 400 and 500 people, and we're going to talk about how to market your small business.
Beautiful. And Mark, that's your next venture?
That's June 25th.
June 25th.
This week again, we just got hit with the movie. We're trying to work. I just looked. It's going to Jacksonville, Florida. Actually, Rich, maybe by you. The two places in Florida, and it's actually going to Pittsburgh and Bethlehem, PA. So we're working on the movie real strong, and we're also working on all the leads still from our hardware retail show, and we're busy, and Niagara Falls is doing real well. We were open at 12 o'clock the other night, so we had a great weekend over Memorial Day, but just keeping on everything and trying to make something, make some money.
Well, Mark, if there's any way that you can influence the filmmakers to get it to Philadelphia, we'll certainly make a big promo out of it.
Will do. Rich, I'm going to talk to him after we hang up.
And Rich, what can we do to hear more good things about our government officials?
Well, Mark, congrats on that. Let your contacts know. Miami has many independent movie theaters. Huge market here for that film.
Will do.
In fact, right down the street from where our office is located, there is a place there that we could feature it. Please let me know. I'll make a big, big to-do out of it.
Mark, well, let him know if we come to Miami, I'll make the mojitos for everyone.
Okay. I'm going to work both of them for you guys.
And when they come to Philadelphia, we'll make sure we get some of those delicious pierogies out served, too, as well.
I'll bring some buffalo wings with me.
Oh, we'll make it a full ethnic American-type festival.
I'll bring Oreo cookies. That's about all.
There we go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in. Spread the word. You'll be able to hear rebroadcast today by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and clicking on the Listen Anytime link. Spread the word. American workers need all of us. Until this Saturday at 11, I wish all of you the very best. David Zeni.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a good week. Thank you.